welcome everyone to Square One. My name is Gainer 79. Tonight I'm being joined by General Iowa.
Hello.
And joining us for the first time on the podcast, Gray.
Hello.
And Kamal.
Hello.
All right, gang's all back together. All right, so on today's podcast, we will be discussing the global phenomenon that is Pokemon Go.
Pogo.
Yeah, Pogo. So we'll start you off with the kind of the basic knowledge, just in case you've been living under a rock for, you know, the past few months here. No offense, but hey, not everybody's on it just yet. So Pokemon Go is an online mobile app for your phone that allows you to wander around your neighborhood and capture Pokemon using augmented reality. So it accesses your camera and kind of puts the Pokemon in the real world based on that. And, you know, it's pretty much the long and short of it.
The Pokemon game that everyone has always wanted.
Like where you can, in real time, catch Pokemon.
Exactly.
Also fight Pokemon in real time. It's not turn-based. When you right. When you to fight something, it's... Yeah. It's...
Yeah, you gotta tap a little bit.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pretty basic. They're starting to implement some new features into the game. I know, like, IV, like, individual value stuff has been added recently. They're working on getting, like, trainer versus trainer battling and trading going on. And I know there's been rumors of them introducing the second generation Pokemon. So some cool stuff possibly on the horizon. But let's talk about, you know, the basics of the game first and foremost. So just so you can kind of get an idea. So
sign in. You pick team. You pick Team Mystic, and then.
Right. So basically, the first and foremost, you got to get your starter. You have a choice of either the original three starters, or if you know the little hack. If you wait like 10 minutes, you can get Pikachu as your starter.
You actually have to walk away from wherever your starters were.
True.
Like your starters, the three starters spawn in front of you after you open your game, and if you walk in any direction away from them until they are off of your screen, I believe, the Pikachu shows up.
Yep.
I didn't even see three starters. I just saw one.
Oh.
It's like, okay, I guess I'm capturing this one.
I saw one, and I saw the other two spawn as I clicked on the one, but the one that popped up first was my starter, so it was my favorite.
Which the is? Good news is that you can find all of them in the wild anyway.
Charmander!
I started with Bulbasaur. He's my boy.
Oh.
Bulba's best.
Bulba is balance.
Charmander best.
Well, I will say this: I've never seen a Charmander in the wild at this point, other than when I got him as a starter.
We have a Charmander nest in Columbus.
Oh, you're...
Where it's like every 2 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw one and it ran away. So, yeah.
I've seen a lot of squirrels near me. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm almost. Yeah. So anyway, back to the main problem here. So yeah, you get your starter. And then you can start going out and capturing more Pokemon. And really all you're going to catch off the bat is Rattatas, Pidgeys, Weedles, you know, the crap. You will see so many Pidgeys and Rattatas by the end of this.
I've stopped even bothering. Just, I don't even go for them anymore.
I just get them for, like, the experience and the Stardust.
Well, I would say, yeah, it is important to... Hold on. Sounded like it was raining for a second. Okay. It's important to keep catching those because you get Stardust and also you get XP.
Right.
So, like, just catch them and trade them. No big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so we should probably explain that part to the wonderful people here.
So when you catch a Pokemon, you get experience for catching it, and you also get candy for that particular Pokemon. And candy and, I think, Stardust also.
Yeah.
Stardust is... How do you get Stardust again?
You can capture Pokemon.
Okay, catching stuff. So you get XP, Stardust. XP, which increases your level. Stardust, which is something you can use to evolve and power up Pokemon. And Candy, which you use to evolve Pokemon. So I think it costs 50 Pidgey candy to evolve a Pidgey, I believe.
25 and then 50 from Pidgeotto to Pidgeot.
So to get a Pidgeotto, you have to catch a certain amount of Pidgeys, and you get, I think, three candy per wild ones. Anyway, when you evolve, when you get enough candy from catching enough of one type of Pokemon, you can evolve that Pokemon into its next evolution. You can also get candy by trading in Pokemon that you have caught. So, say you catch a Pidgey, you get three candy for that, and then you trade him, and you transfer him. You don't trade him. You transfer him back to the professor. You get one candy for that, correct? Mm-hmm. Yep. So then you've got a total of four candy turnaround on that Pidgey.
Exactly.
And that's why hoarding them is important, also because you get XP.
Yes. So. Yes, and then the other wonderful mechanic of this game, because eventually you're going to run out of Pokeballs, are Pokestops. And Pokestops within the game are landmarks or statues or any sort of, like, you know, famous point of interest within, you know, your real world.
I wouldn't even say famous. I would just say very... Because there are things around here that are not really famous, but they're, like, they're Pokestops. I've noticed a disproportionate amount of churches.
Yes.
Just because they're easy to spot. It's easy to spot a church. What else? Churches, parks, government buildings.
Art installations.
Art installations.
Yeah.
A good example would be the cows that used to be all over downtown Chicago.
We've got benches in Tinley Park.
And then gyms are generally in... They follow the same type of GPS as... Or not GPS, the same type of location format as the Pokestops do, in that they are in high populated areas that get a lot of foot traffic.
Right. And with the gym things... Once you hit level 5 within the game, you can go to a gym and pick a team. And there are 3 teams to choose from and only one that matters.
Correct choice, and it's Mystic.
It's always Mystic. Blanche's Bay.
What'd you say?
Blanche's Bay.
Blanche is my parent. Blanche is my favorite. Honestly, though, when the game first came out, there wasn't much information available about the teams other than it says, like... So, Mystic believes... Oh, just really quick before we miss the topic of Pokestops. Pokestops, you can use a mechanic in the game. You spin the logo of the Pokestop, and it dispenses...
balls items. And potions. So
Pokeballs, potions, stuff like that, that you need to fill up on while you're out Pokehunting. So, when you join a team at a gym, when we started, it only gave you a silhouette of the gym leader... Yep. And a short description about the team's philosophy, which was instinct, I believe, was poke. It was the core question was each of the three teams is answering the question, Pokemon are strong because, with something different.
Right.
Team Valor answers it by saying Pokemon are strong because they're powerful. Like, Pokemon are cool because they're powerful. And their strength and their ability to, like, do cool things. Mystic was saying Pokemon are ancient and wise, and that's why they're cool. And instinct was Pokemon operate off of their instincts, and Pokemon have really good intuition. And that's why they're cool.
Right.
So it was really easy. And the other thing was it was associated with a Gen 1 legendary bird. And that's how most people picked it.
Yeah.
In the first go around. It was so vague that the people that hit level 5, I think it was like 3 or 4 days after launch.
Yeah.
That it was so vague that 2 or 3 weeks later they put a mechanic into the game where you can switch your team once after your first pick, because all of us knew so little about the team we were picking that...
Like, not even what the leader looked like.
It was we didn't know.
So you can switch your team once after you pick your team.
So if you picked wrong, you can now pick Mystic and be right.
Yeah, so even if you picked Instinct, it's okay. You can be wrong, and you can change it. Oh my God, just really quick, though, we're being so sarcastic right now. There is no wrong team, and also anyone that tells you that there is taking this app, it's an app, way too seriously. It's a game.
And they're also probably on Team Valor.
They're also probably on Team Valor. There's, like, weird... rivalry, and I'm like, we're adults playing a phone app, it's fine, like, relax.
Oh, God. The level of butthurt among some people, though, was pretty epic at the first few days. Especially when you get that one guy who takes over a gym and leaves a Magikarp there.
Oh, I love that. I think that's hysterical. The problems with the app when it first came out for real, though, was that Niantic was really... I don't get it. Like, they claimed their dev team was not ready for... Like, wasn't expecting the response that it got. And I'm like, after all that hype you drummed up, you weren't ready for the server load when it finally came out in the United States? Like, I don't understand.
The game
was basically unusable for the first week that it was out. Like, yeah, it was only usable maybe, like... 35-40% of the time, and the rest of it, the servers were down.
Right, so like basically the game was only would operate correctly during non-peak hours, which was usually about like 9 o'clock on. And the other issue was there was frequent crashes. There was
a lot of glitches, a lot of timing issues with the Pokeballs, so you couldn't catch anything.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that needed to be fixed, but Niantic also went out like somewhere along the way and said, this game was only about 10% of what they wanted it to be.
I get. It's fine. But here's the other thing. If your game is only 10% of what you want it to be for market, do not release it, especially if it's as hyped as Pokemon Go was. Like, I try so hard to have sympathy for Niantic, but I really can't when they start with the whole... Well, the game wasn't finished the way we wanted it to be. It's like, well, then delay it and finish it and put it out when it's finished, because you clearly were not ready for... They weren't even ready for the 10% of the game that they had, and they're losing users every day because people are getting impatient waiting for functionality that was promised in the trailers that is still not in the game.
I mean, apps lose players all the time. They're going to put out some new patch or some new... functionality, and they'll get more of them back, and then they'll slowly drop off. It's just something that happens.
It is interesting, though, to see that the user base is really not fluctuating that much, like not like apps usually do.
Right. A lot of the drop not recently has been because kids are going back to school and they can't play all day. And that's really the thing that helped Niantic get this thing like so popular, is because they picked the perfect time to release it, which was right at the beginning of the summer. So, you know, all the kids are out of school, they have time to play it, you know, the parents are, you know, they have time to do it too. You know, it's an easily accessible game, and it's free, which is like, you know, hey, it's free, we can go do this.
It's free as long as you have an awesome data plan.
True, and then there's microtransactions and such if you really want to, but...
Data hasn't been crazy because of it?
No.
So, but... You know, back to some of the mechanics of this game. One of the things that the game did have that it's kind of lost as it's gone on is the tracking feature.
Oh god!
They're trying to find something better. The issue was that the server load for the tracking just completely... That's what made it unusable.
Disclaimer: Kamal really loves Niantic, and he loved their last game. You're going to stand for them no matter what, which is not a bad thing. You are going to defend them no matter what they do.
Disclaimer, I know about the technical issues that they...
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying you understand what's going on, and also you are familiar with the Ingress.
Right.
Yes.
So just for listeners that might not know what that is, Ingress is, how would you describe... It's a game based on the landmarks thing. So again, churches, properties, landmarks, stuff like that. That you have to like hang out at as a team to claim for your team.
It's like the gym functionality of Pokemon Go, but without the Pokemon.
Yeah. So you just show up and you fight people IRL. I'm kidding. You don't do that. You just show up, don't you? And you have to stay there for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like King of the Hill almost.
Yeah.
But digital. Yeah. So Niantic just imported. That's why a lot of the landmarks are really weird and like not child friendly. Because, and they've cleared most of those from the game now, but a lot of the landmarks were, like, cemeteries, places that you could go on foot and play this Ingress game. They just imported all of the landmarks from Ingress into Pokemon Go to varying success.
Yeah.
They've mostly worked that out now, though, but...
Yeah, there's a few of them that are kind of still goofy out there.
The tracking feature, like Kamal was saying, is... basically what made the game unusable, because it was such a strain on their servers.
Well, the reason it was a big strain, and they came out and said it was, there was third-party websites that were accessing through the Pokemon Trainer Club, they were accessing the data for the tracking. And
well, they were using the same API through Google that they were using Niantic's server load to.
Yeah, they were basically making big surface maps showing where everything was at any given moment.
Well, they were using this, like, I mean, I used, when I was using tracking while it was still up, I was using one that was a self-report. Like, it was a user-reported thing, so it didn't pull on their servers. But a lot of these trackers, they're not, so it's like user-reported would be like, I saw a Pikachu here at this time of day. And then other users could report, like, oh, yeah, me too, or no, I didn't. And it's kind of like Reddit. They would get upvoted and downvoted in and out of existence. But these other sites that I think, like, PokeVision was one of them.
Yeah, PokeVision was the most popular of them.
But they use the game's... Is API the right word?
Yeah.
They use the game's API to tell you exactly what the code says will spawn where, how long it will be there, and what it is, with a little image. And that puts enormous strain on their servers.
It's basically they made a program that pretended to be an instance of the game at every point on Earth so that they could always see what all of the Pokemon are. And that they released the numbers, and all of that, after they shut those down, that counted for 2/3 of the server load.
So only 1/3 of the server load was actual active players on their phones looking for Pokemon, which means that even their own tracking puts a huge strain on it because people exploit it as soon as it's available.
Right. So the third party sites got shut down. The tracking kind of fell apart. The thing that we've been hearing
just to be clear about the tracking, they initially had a tracking system where it was based on the number of footprints that were underneath the Pokemon, which is vague, but it's kind of like a game of hot or cold.
Yeah.
And then after another update, it just turned to just pictures with no distance indicators. And then tracking went away completely, and that's when I stopped playing because I was like, what's the...
Right. So now...
There is something for wandering and just looking for random stuff, but, like, I don't have time to walk around for 3 hours.
Well, it's... The pictures are back.
No, I'm getting to that. I'm talking about, like, 2-3 weeks ago when tracking did not exist.
Right. So, well, here, let me...
The pictures are back now, and they're trying to transition into, like, other ways of visual tracking that are, like, the hot and cold game again.
Well,
but I gotta be honest, they're not gonna get me back as a player until they've got something reliable.
Well, I was actually about to explain what they're working on, and I've seen video beta of this. What they're trying to do right now is they're gonna use the Pokestops as sort of a nearby thing. So basically what it'll do is on your nearby screen, you'll see the picture of the Pokemon, and then behind it you'll see a picture of whatever that nearest Pokestops image is, so that you at least have some kind of mark of reference. You know, so if you see, like, you know, the water, like, we'll take, like, Chicago, I think, like, the water tower is a Pokestop, if I'm not mistaken. So you would see the picture of the water tower behind any Pokemon that's nearby it. And that's, like, the current thing they're working on. And I have seen the video beta, and it looks like an interesting way to go about it. But honestly, for someone like me who just has, like, a set area that he can work, I mean, it doesn't make that much of a difference to me.
I feel like they were remiss in taking the tracking feature away completely, because when I was looking at, like, charts of their user base, that was the biggest dip, was when they totally took away the nearby feature. Because, I mean, here's the deal. If you're 9 years old and you've got the entire day to blow on your bike driving around looking for random encounter Pokemon, that's fine. But if you're me and you get home at 6 o'clock, 6:15 at night, you've got a couple of hours, and I'm not going to waste them walking around catching infinite amounts of, like, Weedle, Pidgey, Rattata, Weedle, Pidgey, Rattata. Like,
you want to know where the Dratini is and how far away it is.
Would you believe me if I said I don't have anything rarer than the Eeveelutions right now? Because there's nothing, and I don't care enough to go anywhere else.
I'd hate to tell you what I have.
Yeah, it's here. That, I mean, that's another thing worth talking about. I was just gonna say something about catching things.
Yeah, well, just there's a lot of Pokemon that seem to be rarer by location.
I find it kind of backwards in that all of the, like, good Pokemon that are not common ground, like, ground whatever types, mm-hmm. are found in really urban areas. Like, downtown Cincinnati, downtown Chicago has really good diversity. which makes no sense to me. We live in a wooded area. Like, that should, I mean, in terms of biodiversity, it should be more biodiverse here than it should be in downtown Chicago.
Yeah,
downtown Chicago should be full of rats and pigeons.
I imagine they were thinking more of player base. There's a larger player base, which would prompt it to spawn more.
Yeah, I like guess. That.
Although I have heard of some very random placements of some things. Somebody told me they were out on Lake Michigan on a boat, and there was a raticate out there.
Wow, that's actually hysterical.
It's like, really?
The other like hints that have been dropped have been pretty reliable, like water types spawn by the river.
Yeah.
Right.
You can catch fire types at
I heard gas stations for some reason with the fire types.
I just said that. I just said gas stations.
Okay, you cut out for a sec, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I said gas stations. If it's raining outside, you can catch water type anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's reliable. I've tried that. You can, like, legitimately catch anything if it's raining outside.
Yeah.
You can catch it near electrical plants and power lines. You can catch electric type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of, like, other little hacks now that we've, like, explained the mechanic.
One of the things I found out is, like, dragon types and some of, like, the really, like, rare, like singularity, like, non-evolvers, they seem to spawn near more prominent landmarks. So, like...
Well, yeah, we have an Aerodactyl that spawns at Paul Brown Stadium.
Right. So you're talking, you know, big stadium versus, like, you know, generic bus stop, that's, you know, number sure five.
That's sweet. There's also the Eevee trick, which is when you evolve your Eevees, you can use this trick once, each nickname one time. That's how I'm going to explain it. So, the three nicknames are Pyro, Rainer, and Sparky, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, when you go to evolve an Eevee, before you do it, nickname the Eevee any of those three things, and the first time you do it, it will evolve into that thing. So, you can get one Flareon, one Jolteon, and one Vaporeon that way. I didn't understand it when I did it. I thought you got one that you could do like that, but you get one of each evolution.
Mm-hmm. I've heard if you delete the nickname and then use it again, it'll work.
It doesn't. I've tried.
Okay.
I got two Vaporeons that way.
I see.
But it...
That's the most common trick.
That's how you get the three evolutions.
If you don't do that, it's pretty much random.
Right. It's entirely random. You can also catch the evolutions in the wild now.
Oh.
As of a recent update, you can catch them in the wild, and they spawn according to their type.
Right.
And you have to keep the nickname afterward. There were some people that were spreading rumors that it would devolve if you took, like, Rainer off of its name, and I was like, what?
That would have sucked so bad.
What other hacks are there?
Here's a hack.
Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, these are all just rumors, and some of them can be confirmed, some of them can't.
Well, I meant, like, and I'm only going to bring up stuff that I have seen with my own two eyes in the game, right. Because it's there are so many senseless rumors. Kamal and I live near the epicenter of Articuno hell.
Yeah.
Oh, the fake Articuno.
You live literally 10 minutes down the road from where the fake Articuno supposedly was caught. And we're in the Cincinnati Pokemon Go groups, which... I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Here it comes.
The Pokemon Go groups in major cities are usually okay. Just turn off notifications and only go in them when you need to. But the Articuno thing was someone was claiming that they had caught an Articuno and they had it installed in a gym in Westchester, Ohio. And it caused a ton of drama down here because people were like, they're cheating, they're lying, they hacked, they're whatever. And these people, like, created a fake email from Niantic where they spelled Articuno wrong. And, like, basically it was revealed that they had cheated to get this legendary bird. They never said whether it was just a reskinning of another Pokemon or if it was the actual bird. Niantic never came out and said it, which I don't blame them. I wouldn't admit either way. It wasn't real. It got taken away, and it was the biggest, stupidest thing I've ever watched a bunch of adults argue over on Facebook. Like, they were more mad about this fictional bird than they are about, like, the fact that Donald Trump could be the president later this year. Like, jeez. For real, like, it screwed with the community big time for, like...
Oh, yeah, because it's like all of a sudden there's a legendary bird out there and someone has it. There was a similar controversy. They had some kid in, like, California reported that he had caught Mew in his bedroom, which was, turned out to be false.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, because that would have been a big friggin' deal. One of the truth rumors, though, is the guy who actually caught everything you can catch in the U.S. He caught the entire Pokedex worth.
Florence.
What?
He lives in Kentucky.
I heard somebody in New York.
Mm-mm. The first guy to do it was down here. It didn't get national news. He is, though. It's confirmed. He has the email from Niantic. We've all seen it. Like, the first guy to fill the Pokedex was down here.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And then one of the people who finished the U.S. Pokedex, he tried to get a trip around the world funded so that he could catch the continent-specific.
Oh, that's something. So in the game, there are Pokemon that are specific to certain continents.
And I finally figured out which ones they are, too.
Well, currently, you can only catch Mr. Mime in Europe.
Yep.
You can only catch Farfetch'd in Australia. Japan? No,
Japan. Yeah. It's Japan and Asia.
Farfetch'd is Japan and Asia. And
Kangaskhan is Australia.
And you can only
going to Australia.
And you can only catch Tauros in the United States.
Yes.
Now.
United States and North America.
Because this is the biggest debate in the Cincinnati group, and I wish everyone would stop asking because Niantic has given an answer to it. You cannot hatch region-specific eggs from regions that are you are not in from eggs. Like, you can't... Oh, there's an egg mechanic, too. We totally forgot the eggs.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and explain it.
You get eggs, you put them in an incubator, and then when you have the app open and you're walking, the distance that you walk hatches them. So they hatch at different distances.
Yes. Oh, that was another... There's actually another mechanic to that. We were talking about the hacks. I've heard you can only get the starters out of 2K eggs.
Out of what?
Out of 2 kilometer eggs.
Oh, there's a list of what you can and can't get out of distance eggs.
Yeah, but it's like... But like, 2 kilometer eggs only hatch, like, mostly crap. Like Pidgeys, Spearows, Rattatas. But I guess the starters are also mixed in there somehow. Which is kind of good. Which I can actually confirm myself because I did hatch a Charmander out of one.
But what I was saying about the eggs was people are saying like, oh, I got a Mr. Mime by hatching it from an egg. If someone tells you that they got a Mr. Mime, a Kangaskhan, or a Farfetch'd from an egg, they're lying and they are GPS spoofing. And we can talk about different ways people hack later, but... They're lying to you and they're cheating, and you should report them to Niantic because they're ruining the game for everyone.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't GPS spoof. You will get banned. Niantic has come down hard on that.
I'll talk about hacking in a second, but that you cannot... I wish I could stand on a soapbox in the group and just, like, pin the post to the top, but our admins are so bad. You cannot hatch region-specific eggs for non-U.S. Pokemon in the U.S., Similarly, you cannot hatch U.S. region, the U.S. region specific in France. You can't hatch a Mr. Mime in Africa. You can't hatch a Farfetch'd in Russia. Like, they're specific. So, I mean, if you went on vacation and you found an egg when you were in Japan, you could hatch a Farfetch'd when you get back into the United States, but otherwise, you have to acquire the egg in the country that the egg, whatever. You can't. Like, they're lying in the cheaters.
I mean, I think I... Here's the thing. I'm not sure if you actually have to be in the region when the egg hatches.
No. That's not what I'm saying. You just have to get the egg in that region.
Okay. Oh, so it does. So it carries over.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because that was something I wasn't really clear on.
Yeah, where you get it matters. Because it's decided what's coming out of that egg when you get the egg. Like, gotcha. They don't roll the dice when the egg hatches. Like... It's an Eevee before you start walking. Like, if it's going to be an Eevee, it's going to be an Eevee.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Although, I find the funniest thing in the world was the people who got really pissed off when they would hatch Magikarps until you realize how many damn candies you need to get them, to get Gyarados.
400.
400 candies.
400 candies.
101 Magikarps.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. If you hatch if you hatch something, you actually get more candy than the standard three. That I can confirm.
There's another concept in the game, and there are certain items that do certain things. You can use, and you get them when you level up, or you can pay for them in the store. So every time you level up, you get a nice little package of stuff from the game. And the higher you get, the cooler the items are. So one of the first things that you'll get is an incense, which it attracts Pokemon to you for 30 minutes as long as you are moving. So if you're walking Pokemon much, I believe, is the official metric. People have data mined all of this. You can Google it and find, like, the official data mining stuff. I think that that's so extra and dumb. Like, it's an app. Who cares?
Just walk around and have fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's another concept. Well, there's another concept called Lucky Eggs, which is, like, you use... It's kind of... They remind me of bath bombs, because they're not really eggs. Like, nothing comes out of them. You just kind of, like, throw them, and then for the next certain amount of time, your XP is doubled or tripled, whatever. I've never used one, because I don't care. Like, I literally don't care. I don't care about strategy. It's an app.
As someone who's used the Lucky Eggs, there actually is a good strategy to using them.
Yeah. You wait until you have a bunch of Pokemon that you want to evolve. You use the Lucky Egg, and then you evolve a ton of Pokemon all at once, and you reap the XP.
Yep. It's a great way to power level.
But here's what I'm saying. Why would you power level in an app? It's an app.
Why not?
Because if you can get to level 40, then you're at the top of the game, and then once you get your Pokemon all leveled up, you're good.
A quick thing that, again, has been numerically proven. If someone is higher than level 24 right now, they're cheating.
No, not 24.
Yes. The difference between 24 and 25 is something like a million XP.
I'm at level 25 right now, Liz.
Okay, I'm saying if you're higher than around 24 or 25, you're cheating. Like
30-something.
It's not. Niantic came out... Well, that was 2.5 weeks ago Niantic came out. Or not Niantic, but people did the math, and they were like... Because there were suddenly a rash of people that were occupying gyms that were, like, levels 30 and 35, where, like, when you get up to, like, I guess past 25, because Gainer's got it, it gets to be, like, the difference between one level, so like the difference between 26 and 27, for example, could be something ridiculous like 2 million XP, and you would have to be playing literally 12 hours straight and catching Pokemon every 2 minutes to level that quickly, which there could be people that are doing that legitimately. I don't know anyone that has that kind of time, but the problem is that people were using GPS spoofers to level
They're leveling the character up too high.
Yeah, the character, thank you. They're leveling the character up by using... So GPS spoofing is where you get a computer program to play the game for you when you're not playing it, but the computer program isn't bound by the GPS receptor on your phone. It can go wherever it wants, and it lies to the game and says that you're where you are. So you get hella XP from walking around, you hatch eggs really quick, you catch stuff that's not region-specific...
Yeah, one of the biggest GPS spoofing like controversies I had heard of, someone used the program, and the game had just gotten released in like India, so like the general population was under level 10, and there was some guy at level 35 who was holding a gym.
Yeah, we had that problem in Ohio here.
I play the game pretty regularly. I'm at level 25.
Which sounds about right for people that are really serious about this game right now. Everyone that I'm seeing that's really serious is at or around 24, 25.
Right, and this is including, like, you know, power leveling with the Lucky Eggs. And it is 190,000 XP to go from 25 to 26.
Compared with, like, I think 1 to 2 was, like, 150.
Right.
Like, it gets exponentially harder to level the higher you get. So there is math to be done that literally, like, I think there was one where someone did the math and it was like you'd have to be playing for 36 hours a day, which doesn't exist. But anyway, don't hack.
Don't be that guy.
And if someone is up around level 30, they're probably hacking and you should probably report them to Niantic.
Or they have, like, no life.
They've done the math. There is a certain point where it is physically impossible for someone to have done that without cheating.
True.
Who knows how to figure it out? So just report them, and if it ends up not being a cheater, they won't ban them. And if it does, then good. Yeah. Niantic's banhammer is broad and swift, though. So you can for GPS spoofing. You can be banned for using IV counter websites.
Mm-hmm.
You can be banned for using tracker websites. There are a couple tracker websites now that you can still use. The problem is people are like, how will Niantic know I'm using these? Most of them require you to log in with your Pokemon trainer ID. Like, if you log in with that, Niantic knows where you've been. So if you're using something that you have to log into, stop now. And if you haven't, don't start, because
Niantic's like Santa.
He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you have Pokevision open. He knows that you've been GPS spoofing and is going to bring the band hammer down.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I've heard, and I actually heard about this secondhand. I can't confirm it, but there was a YouTuber who had contacted Niantic before he did this. He was in an area where there was enough Pokestops around him and enough, you know, spawns around him that he could run. He ran like the lure module, which is similar to the incense, and lures low level Pokemon to that area.
But it's stationary, so you attach a lure is like an incense that you attach to a Pokestop.
And everybody can use it.
Yeah.
So if one person does it, everyone can use it. But what he did was there was like a cluster of stops, and he put lures on all of them, and he was catching Pokemon left and right. And he was doing a charity event where he was trying to, like, you know, for every like certain amount of XP he hit, he would donate all this money. He leveled up so fast and collected so much XP so fast, Niantic soft banned him like halfway through it.
I mean, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing, because if it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, then it's probably a duck.
But the thing is, but he went out of his way to contact and get permission from Niantic to do this.
You said he had no way of doing that?
So it was basically Niantic, like, yeah, he contacted, got a letter of approval, but someone, you know, but the automatic, you know, ban bot saw him and said, no.
I mean, still, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's the type of thing where it's like, if you feel like it's probably going to get you banned, it probably is, and I probably wouldn't do it. Yeah, you know,
so he could do that legit, though. Like,
yeah,
get so much XP legit that they thought he was botting.
Yeah. Oh, that's a slur. Not slur. That's a slang term that people use to describe hackers, is botting.
Right.
Because generally, the best way to hack the game is to have a bot play it for you. It's kind of like League of Legends, where people will power level by having bots play for them. I'm trying to think of other stuff you shouldn't do in this game. You're going to encounter other Pokemon trainers, especially if you're in an area that gets a lot of foot traffic. Don't be weird, and don't be... We've encountered very much weirdness. No.
Everybody's been generally very nice, especially like when the game first came out. People were like, oh, hey, there's like there's a Scyther down the street, you know, and everybody would run towards it, you know.
We went on, it was like the second week it was out, the Pokemon Bar Crawl.
Yeah, it was the first one.
Yeah, it was the first Pokemon Bar Crawl in the United States, and it was the biggest bar crawl that they've ever had in Cincinnati. I think it was like 200 people or something ridiculous like that.
All right, so other things that you should not be doing within the game. We talked about the botting. We talked about the GPS spoofing. We talked about not being a dink, you know, to the people around you. And this isn't so much a hacking thing as much as a general etiquette thing. Don't go into places you're not supposed to playing this game.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Like, one of the ones, and this was probably the stupidest one I ever heard, was somebody was playing this game at the Holocaust Museum.
No. Like, even if there is a Pokestop there, it doesn't mean it's an appropriate place to play the game.
Yeah,
like cemeteries, or the Holocaust Museum, or a funeral. I don't know. If you wouldn't have your cell phone out there, you should not be playing the game there.
Right. Like, don't play it at the movies during the movie.
We had a problem with that when we saw Suicide Squad.
Yeah, well, I can understand. But I can understand during Suicide Squad. I heard that movie was very bad.
It was entertaining, but it was not good.
It was a bad movie.
Yeah, I had the option of seeing that or Sausage Party. Yeah.
Don't know.
Oh. Which one did you pick?
We saw Sausage Party.
I don't know that that was the better choice.
In retrospect, it kind of wasn't.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at pictures of baby birds right now.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, we were like, oh, Sausage Party, it's a Seth Rogen movie, we like Seth Rogen, how bad, you know, it's probably just gonna be a lot of swearing and stupid stoner jokes, but at least it's a night out and fun. And for the most part, that's exactly what it was until the end happened. And the ending cannot be unseen.
Okay, well, let's not talk about Sausage Party anymore.
Yeah, let's not. So anyway, back to Pokemon Go. Nice, wholesome Pokemon Go. Thank God for being wholesome.
Talk about where it's going.
Yeah, so, or, you know, and then we can also get the outsider perspective here on this, because Iowa does not play. So as for where we see it going, I'm not really sure that this game is actually going to be around in 6 months. Like, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be as heavily played as it once was. Even with the promise of the second generation Pokemon, I don't feel this game is going to be gripping enough and have a... The problem with it is it doesn't have enough of an end game. There's no real goal to it other than you're repeating the same thing over and over, you know, trying to get, you know, be the most powerful person.
I agree with that, but I also think that they're working towards it. Because they're still intending to do events where you can catch the legendary Pokemon, and I think those events will bring people back. Also, people are kind of panicking about, like, oh, it lost this many million people, like, after only however many months, but, like, it was going to lose those people anyway. Like, that's just normal drop-off.
Right, like...
And they banned all the people who were using the trackers and the botting and the spoofing.
Right.
Oh.
So you figure you eliminated probably a quarter of the people that were playing just from banning, and then you lose a couple more, you know, people through just general disinterest, through, you know, just time constraints, you know, for whatever reason, or, you know, whatever. So you get a lot of the casual players are starting to drop off, but a lot of the hardcores are still in it.
And those casual players will come back anytime there's a major update.
At least, so that's, at least that's what he hopes for.
I mean, I am a living example of that.
Like, once they implement some sort of tracker, people will come back. Once they do an event for the legendaries, people will come back. It will happen. There is data to support the fact that that will happen. It's just, right. It has to happen.
Right, but even when those big things happen, the question is, will there be enough people sticking around past that? You know, and the thing is, even if you do it, I don't see it being more than like, oh, they did it, you know, for a month, but now the numbers are starting to drop off again. You know, that's why I say 6 months, because, you know, supposedly in the next 3 months we'll have the legendary reveals, we'll have the second generation Pokemon revealed, but, you know, 6 months from now I don't see that many people other than the hardcore people still playing it.
I think they'll keep supporting it as long as it makes money, and from what I understand, it's made $400 million already.
Oh yeah, it's made a ton of money. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think the good thing is that you don't necessarily need a group, like a large fan base, for it to remain fun for the people who are still playing.
Right, and actually that's probably one of the benefits of people dropping off now, is that the people who actually do want to play this, you know, to a certain degree, will be able to, because now with less people, the servers will be more stable, Niantic will have a little bit more time to get certain aspects and things correct before implementing them, as opposed to having to shove it out, you know, sooner than they want to because of high demand.
I mean, I think that you're severely underestimating how many people are still playing this game hardcore. Like, the only demographic they've lost is children that are in school.
Right. Well, the other thing...
adults are still playing it.
Well, you also have to remember, though, we have the promise of an actual Pokemon game in Pokemon Sun and Moon coming out. And that's going to draw a lot of people away from Go.
I don't think so. They're too different.
If anything, it'll draw people towards Go.
Because you can't play your DS at work, but you can be on your phone at work, and it's less noticeable.
I don't know. I think once you get left with the hardcore demographic of Pokemon Go, a lot of that hardcore demographic is that same demographic that's going to gravitate towards Sun and Moon.
I don't think that's true at all. Because I'm noticing people that, like, do not play video games play this. Like, people that haven't bought a Pokemon game since the original 3 are playing this.
Right, like...
I see it all the time.
Even people who have never played a Pokemon game are playing Pokemon Go.
Very hardcore.
True.
Because they grew up alongside it, but this is so much more accessible than buying a console. Like, buying a handheld box. It's so much more accessible because now the technology's there.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, listen, only time will tell with this game, and, you know, we can only speculate, you know, as to what'll happen. But, you know, I'd like to see the game remain a steady, you know, force, you know, to the point that it's still fun to play. I think once they get certain more personal aspects of the game implemented, like trading and the trainer versus trainer battling. I think once that becomes a thing, I think you're going to start seeing a little bit more of a steady core to this game of people that will be playing. You know, and I want to see it happen because I like the game. I enjoy playing the game. It's been like a nice way for me to like get out and, you know, walk around a little bit and just meet people.
That's a little bit of a criticism of the game in that you can't play it if you're not physically mobile. But, I mean, there's no really way around that I can think of.
There is a certain way to do it because one of the complaints from certain parents was that they're, you know, they have a child who's, you know, wheelchair bound or this or that couldn't get out and play the game like everybody else. What they were able to do was they were able to contact Niantic directly and explain their situation. And what Niantic would do is get your data from your account, and they would increase your spawn rate in your immediate area, but only for you. Similar to like how the incense and the lures work.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think Pokemon Go is going to experience any massive die-off. I think it's as here to stay as Candy Crush. I think it's going to fade into the background. Like, there are still millions of people that play Candy Crush every single day.
Right.
But it stops becoming news after a while. And they're very into it, and they're very hardcore. But it just stops becoming news. I think the only thing that's different is that Pokemon Go has people outside, and that's why it's newsworthy. I think it'll be interesting to climates manage the winter. I know I personally am going to be playing more in the coming months than I have since the game came out because I cannot tolerate the heat and I can't walk around in it. But I am very good at managing cold, so I will be out and catching Pokemon this winter.
I'm actually curious to see if they're going to implement, like, special things for like certain holidays, like on Halloween, like the spawn rate for ghost types goes through the roof, or
God, I would die.
Or like close to Christmas, all of a sudden ice types become a big thing.
I would die.
Yeah. What if after Gen, I think 3 or 4 comes out on Christmas, Delibird shows up?
That'd be interesting. For those who haven't played a game past the first generation, Delibird is a delivery Pokemon that literally operates by dropping packages that do stuff.
It's a Santa Claus bird.
Aw, that's cute! Aww!
Yeah, I remember Delibird. I remember, I think one of the gym leaders had him in one of the games, and he was a pain in the ass. But...
I'm excited for the newest update that's coming out in the next week or so, where you get a buddy Pokemon, so you get to have, like,
What?
Pikachu follows you outside of the ball.
Oh, like in like in Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah, in the next update, you're going to be able to have a Pokemon follow you. And it looks like that Pokemon will collect candy for its species. Like, so if you're walking with a Bulbasaur, it will collect Bulbasaur candy as you walk. So you can evolve more rare Pokemon without having to catch a million of them.
Oh my god, I'm going to have so many Dragonites. I'm sure there's going to be like a mechanic where you have to walk a certain distance for it to happen.
Oh, totally. I would bet you it's going to be way harder to evolve a Charmander by walking than it is to evolve a
Pidgey. Freaking Pidgeys. But no, if they're going to do that, then that is awesome because
they are. It's someone mined the data. It's coming out soon.
Yeah, because I mean, here's the thing: like, there's a couple of Pokemon that I have that I have not found again, and it's such a pain in the butt for those things. And it's like, you know, I'd like to find more of this. You know, like I have a Diglett. I have not seen a Diglett since the day I caught it.
You know, I haven't seen a Tauros since the day I caught my first two.
Oh, you should come by me. They're like they spawn like nothing.
We get a lot of ghost type around here, actually.
I found out where the actual big spot for ghost types is in Chicago.
We also get a lot of Clefairy and Jigglypuff around here.
Oh, I caught a Jigglypuff today.
Oh my god! When me and Iowa went to Anime Iowa, we found out the fountain directly in front of the hotel was a Clefairy nest.
Oh, so nests are a thing. Nests are where one type of Pokemon reliably spawns in an area over time. So, like, a certain amount of spawns per hour.
Yeah.
Like, Alt is a Meowth nest. So I'm interested, just before this gets too long, Iowa, are you still there?
Hi.
There he is.
Hi.
So, Iowa.
How are you doing?
Why don't you play?
I'm not interested. I haven't been interested in Pokemon in nearly two decades.
Ooh, makes sense. I was just curious.
All right. Well, here's my other my thing with this, Iowa. So why? So I understand, like, maybe just getting away from it, like moving away from being a fan of it just wasn't interesting anymore. But like a lot of people that I see playing this game now are people that either never played a Pokemon game before, or they've been out of it since the first generation of Pokemon, and this got them kind of back into it. So what exactly about the game specifically kept you away from it?
There's nothing specific about it that's kept me from playing it. I'm just not interested.
Okay.
Confession time, I'm just honestly not very interested in gaming in general anymore.
Yeah.
All right. And that applies to all platforms.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, then let me get your take on this. As somebody on the outside looking in, what are your thoughts about what you've seen?
People walk around and catch Pokemon. It seems pretty harmless to me.
All right. So, I mean, like, you don't think it's, like, annoying to see groups of people walking around? Or
I don't see groups of people walking around.
That's true. You do.
The only time that I have actually seen, like, people up close playing Pokemon Go at any point since it released was our weekend at Anime Iowa. That's literally it.
All right. Well, I'm saying you haven't seen, like, people, like, as you're in, like, the course of working your job that are just coming around playing this.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you do live in the middle of nowhere.
I don't see it at work either, but I work at a law firm, so
I don't see it at Costco. I don't see random, like, but here's the thing though. I don't go outside much unless I have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna see people playing something if I'm not outside.
We see people all the time around our neighborhood. And I work at the front desk at a law firm and I look out at a Pokestop. And until school went back, like, until we went on vacation, there would be kids sitting there all day long, just hanging out.
So in, like, the first month or so that it came out, like, every day without fail, like, I would hear somebody, like, down the hall somewhere, just, like, I'd hear the first couple notes of the background song, and then quickly shut off. Like, they were playing the night before, and then they turned it back on and forgot their sound was still on. This happened every day for, like, a week.
I will say, I've noticed, like, in my immediate area, because in the downtown area that's close to where I live in Tinley Park, there's a whole, like, the main strip is just littered with Pokestops. But then there's one spot, though, like there's like a fountain in like some bench areas. And there's always, when the game first came out, I'm not even lying when I say this number, there was probably about 100 kids a night that were at this particular area playing this game.
We have a place in downtown Cincinnati that they're calling, and I am dead serious, it's called the Ring of God. And it's called that because it's in a spawn area that is a Magikarp nest, which means you can farm for Gyarados. It is six distance of each other that you can reach just by GPS goofiness.
Well, your mic cut out there, Liz. How many?
Oh, sorry. Six, I believe.
Six.
That you can reach from getting up and walking a couple feet or just letting your GPS kind of wander the way it does.
Six stops? Yeah. Okay.
And it's also in downtown Cincinnati, which means that the spawn is like there's really good diversity.
Right.
And I've seen pictures, like apparently Cincinnati PD has to sit down there now because the park closes at dusk, but people will sit down there until 3 o'clock in the morning. Like they bring lawn chairs and they just sit on the weekends.
Yeah. I mean, here's the nice thing about this game though, is because it's getting people out and they're not doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. They're not going out and committing crimes, you know, I mean, and granted, now there was a few incidents here and there that I heard in relation to the game, but you know, most of the people that are out there they're out there to play the game and they're there to support each other. So you get, you know, these big groups of people, and that keeps people safe. And that's one of the things about this game is don't go alone. It's dangerous to go alone.
Take this.
Exactly. But yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to go play the game, go out and join a group. And it doesn't even have to be people you know. I remember like the first night that me and my girlfriend went out after she downloaded the game, we ended up just hooking up with a random group of about six or seven people, and we just all walked together. So, you know, that's the kind of wonderful thing about this game, is it brings people that you normally wouldn't talk to all together.
Yeah. So. We've met some cool people doing it.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
Right. So, you know, I mean, listen, so I guess some general stuff about the game before we get run a little too long here.
It's fun. Play it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So let's wrap this up here. So, you know, so we've gone over some helpful stuff, just some general advice at this point. Don't go out alone. Don't be afraid to talk to people. You know, don't be that guy that's getting a little too into the game. Have fun, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
don't take it too seriously. It's an app, like.
Yeah, you know, and don't be that guy if you don't play the game that's driving down past a group of people shouting "Pokemon sucks." You know, I had that one happen the other night.
Ew, that sucks.
I know. It's like, dude, you grody piece of crap. So, but yeah, so that's pretty much all there is to say to that. So go out, have fun, explore things, don't go into places you shouldn't go,
and don't go on people's property.
Oh my god. Hold on, I have to share this story about the not going into places that you shouldn't go, because when I heard this story I almost peed my pants laughing.
What happened?
Okay, so a very good friend of mine's father was in bed one night, and now keep in mind that they are gun nuts, you know. So they have a collection, needless to say. And so late one night they hear outside the window some whispering, like, hey, don't worry about it, we're gonna go in, it'll be fine, they won't even know we're here, blah blah blah. He's thinking that he's getting robbed, so he grabs his assault rifle, his military grade flashlight, and goes outside in his underpants to find two kids sneaking into his backyard. And they're like, please don't shoot. There's a Pikachu in your backyard. And and keep in mind, he's like holding a gun to these people. And he's like, yeah, you got a gun at you. You know, it's like, dude. So he's like, hurry up. You have 30 seconds to do what you got to do and get the out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, needless to say, like, this is the reason you don't just go into people's backyards without permission. And don't go into anywhere you shouldn't be going without permission. If it's not public space, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much the bottom line.
Yeah. All right. Other than that, you know, go out, go forth and catch.
Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
You know,
be the best.
That note,
the very best.
Like no one ever was.
Was.
Do, 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 do. sketch than it's Mario Test. Oh, we're gonna get copyrighted.
Yeah, God, we don't want to hit that. So anyway, yeah, if you really want to start have a fun time, just go find a big group of people and just say the first couple of bars of the Pokemon theme song, and
you just have to say, "I wanna." Remember? Do you remember the sing along at the bar walk?
Yeah.
Like, someone was just kind of humming it while they were walking, and then we started singing it between bars.
Yeah.
I will travel across the land.
Oh, some of the funnest times I've had at conventions is just standing in line, and all of a sudden you just say the first couple of words of the song, and everybody starts singing it.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's a great game. Play it. Just do it.
All right. Anyway, so that's everything. You know, thank you guys for joining us here at Square One. If you'd like to get a hold of us, obviously our email, which is squareonepodcast@gmail.com. That's the word square, the number one, podcast@gmail.com. Also, we just launched our new Twitter. We have an official Twitter, which is at, for God's sakes, I don't even remember what it is. Hold on a sec. I gotta bring it up. Cause this shows you how much I use Twitter. Give me a sec. What else we got? We got the YouTube page. Be sure to check that out. Also, make sure to check out our host sites at everyonesgotathing.com and rebuildofevangelion.org. Let's see. Hold on a sec. I'm gonna keep talking. I'm gonna find this thing real quick.
Come see us at RamenCon September 23rd through the 25th in Merrillville, Indiana at the Radisson Star Plaza Hotel. Come find me on Facebook at facebook.com/rtheta. You can find me on Twitter at GrayCosplay, Gray with an E, cosplay spelled the way it's usually spelled. You can find Kamal on Twitter at rthetakamal. Probably not, he never tweets. You can find me at YouTube by searching rtheta or Gray Matter. Our YouTube channel is rtheta, but we don't have a link yet because I don't have 100 subscribers, and I need 100 subscribers before I get my custom YouTube link. So go subscribe to my YouTube.
Yes.
And sub once I get my link.
All right. Liz, feel free to, when I post this on YouTube, feel free to just kind of pop that on there. I also have the Twitter. I have our Twitter for Square One podcast. It is at capital S square. So capital square, capital letter square, capital letter one, and then EGAT, which is for Everyone's Got a Thing. So Square One EGAT, that's our Twitter account. Find us there. I wish I could make it something simpler, but all the other names were taken for some reason.
It's okay.
So, yeah, find us on Twitter. Visit us on our partner sites. Email us.
Call us a carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
Carrier pal.
Yeah, so... Practical. So, yeah.
Cool. Send us a Pidgey. Send us a carrier Pidgey.
Carrier Pidgeys.
Get some use out of all those Pidgeys.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Woo! Thank you guys for joining us. This has been the Square One podcast. And good night and enjoy your day.
Catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been a production of Everyone's Got a Thing. Everyone'sGotAThing.com.